Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. It's a beautiful another Friday for us. We should have a great show for you. True Straight Up, Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com, a conservative voice not for just for Colorado, but for the entire country, and Cenogenyx and Dr. Julie McCallum. Want to remind folks, too, you can always catch all of our shows at ChuckandJulie.com. That has links to all of your favorite podcast platforms, YouTube, you name it.
All right. Well, we've come across a great article by an old friend, Joy Overbeck, on what should we do now?
An American Thinker. We're going to get her on. We may have to interrupt. We have my daughter's dog is visiting. It's like, we have a zoo menagerie here.
That's all right. So all voices are welcome here on the Chuck and Julie.
That's right. All voices are
welcome. Whether dogs or not, doesn't matter. You're welcome.
And then we're going to have George Anthonisopoulos. One thing, it seems to me that we've got both between the GameStop story and then we have the things going on with like Liz Cheney. We're going to talk about Matt Gaetz in Wyoming yesterday. To me, it's the same issue. What we've got are corporate elites and political elites who could care less about middle America, middle class America. And not only could they care less, they actually want to crush us. If we do well in the stock market, then what they do is they crush it and they stop trading. If they don't like who we're voting for, then they just make it not possible for us to vote for them. And Joy had, I'm going to have to go separate the dogs here. Joy had, though, a really good column. And we also wanted to get George on later. You guys, longtime listeners to our show, know about George Anthonisopoulos. He is a former, I guess he's still a Republican strategist, but he actually has a job now.
In a real
MBA.
Job. With,
right. So
with one
right.
Of those infamous,
you write it here if we got
all
Joy.
All right, with one of those infamous banks. But as Julie said, censors. Censor is a dog. We've got Joy Overbeck with us on line three. Joy, great to hear from you.
Hey, you too, Chuck and Julie. Terrific.
Yeah. So, Joy, I mean, I read your column, and it's a lengthy column. And as I'm going down, I'm like, agree with that. Great point. It was just a terrific.
And I was the same way. Julie said, well, you know, you got to read it to make sure.
Yeah.
If we're going to have a debate, she'll know we're going to have a debate. I said, no, I agree with everything she said. So,
so that must mean you're right, Joy.
Oh, you guys, that's no fun.
Yeah, you're right.
But why don't you tell about your column and the main points in it? Because I think, and then we're going to talk about it. I mean, Matt Gaetz was saying the exact same thing in Wyoming yesterday.
Oh, really? I didn't hear his speech in Wyoming. And actually, I submitted this Monday, and they didn't get around to publishing it until today. What I'm talking about is, you know, how people are so discouraged. Because here's Mitch McConnell, who's supposed to be our leader in the Senate. He's saying, oh, yeah, Trump incited this mob or whatever, and so is the idiot, you know, Kevin McCarthy in the House is saying Trump has to take responsibility for this. And I'm like, what are you people talking about? You're supposed to be our leaders. No wonder. And what I say in the column is, because I was very heavily involved in Trump's honking waves and rallies all in the fall, the summer and the
right.
fall. I'm an admin on a page called Parker Honk and Wave. And so we were doing all this great enthusiastic stuff, getting these crazy crowds out there with their MAGA flags and their hats and screaming and yelling. And the traffic is just honking and going berserk with support for President Trump. And of course, now we have a lot of people who are discouraged and who are, and you know, part of it is because of these quislings in leadership. And one of the things I say in the first couple of paragraphs of this piece at AmericanThinker.com is deserting your party's president and bloodying him with false accusations. A president who won the loyalty of 90%+ of their own party, who, and I'm talking about the rhinos now, McConnell and McCarthy, a president who is justly celebrated for his achievements by over 74 million who voted for him, who has won more Black and Hispanic votes than any Republican president in history, isn't only disloyal, it's staggeringly stupid. And so I say, you know, these we can't allow these rhinos here and there to discourage us, because we have the majority. We're the majority of the party, even now.
Right.
I just came out with a poll that 81% of Republicans have a very favorable view of Trump. And that means, of course, a very favorable view of the America First agenda. So all we do is we take the party over now. We're halfway there. We're over halfway there already, because, as I say, we are the base. We are the voters. We are the voters who voted for America First, our President Donald Trump. And so this column is really a step-by-step in how we take over power.
Well, and I think you hit it right on the head, because one, they're going to try to discourage us. I mean, because it is all about power. Matt Gaetz on Tucker Carlson last night was explaining, when Tucker was like, why would Kevin McCarthy be saying all these incredibly stupid things and supporting Liz Cheney? And he says, because you got to remember, all Kevin McCarthy cares about is his own power. And if you can have voters, if you can have the members of Congress just sort of vote you out of leadership, you can't have that, right? If you're an elite swamp creature. And so they do everything they can, and I think even skewing the polls. I bet it's way higher than 81.
That,
I know.
Julie. No,
and Joy, you do walk through, and maybe walk through some of those, because I thought.
Well, what I really liked about yours, Joy, was the fact that, you know, we've got to start with our own county parties. I mean, that's the basic unit,
right?
The precincts and everywhere else, and that's where you can make a real difference. And you got the county elections coming up. They have to occur before February 15th, elect members and to the central committee members and bonus members and all that. And it's time to get involved and not let the rhinos just take it. As a matter of fact, if you go to your county meetings and your local meetings, I mean, there won't be all that many people.
No, you
there.
Won't have that much opposition. So, I mean, we got on, right? Chuck's at PCP and I'm a Minion alternate. And,
And so it's really is, that's where, you know, you can start, and you really can make a difference, and you find out who are the rhinos.
Right.
Who are your local rhinos?
Well, exactly. We primary the rhinos. I mean, Liz Cheney has not a prayer. She's not a prayer. I don't care how much her dad is praying for. Right. It's just not going to happen that we're going to let the rhinos take over. We have all the power. We have all the power, and so do Trump's America First principles. You know. Strong sense of responsibility as voters. Government isn't going to take care of us, right? Lower taxes, the right, religious rights, gun rights, all the rights that strong capitalism, just everything that Trump stood for is what's always going to make our nation successful and our voters and our citizens prosperous. It's just a no-brainer. So all we've got to do is get out there, get off our couches, quit going to all these websites where they have all these discouraging, the demise of the Republican Party columns and crap, and actually just go to these meetings, call up your county party, find out who your precinct leader is. I say in this column, if you don't have a precinct leader, and some counties don't, volunteer, find out what it means to be a precinct leader. I'm a precinct leader. I have been for years and years. It's fun. You get to know other people. You get to discuss politics with them. And, you know, people go, I'm not interested in politics. Guess what? Politics is your life. It's the money they're going to take away from your kids' college fund to pay to give to them in taxes. It's what they're going to arrest you for. You know, whether or not they're going to kick you off a website.
And one thing I think, Joy, that the current events have shown us, and Mark Griffith is asking, where's your column? It's in AmericanThinker.com, and it's titled, What Do We Do Now? Right?
With Joy's name.
With Joy, and it says Joy Overbeck. But, you know, Joy, one of the things we've learned is if you think that your county commissioners and your county health department doesn't matter, who cares, who knows, look what's happened to businesses and restaurants and, you know, small business owners across America with these unelected bureaucrats just shutting us down. And look at school boards, right? We're fortunate. Our son goes to a charter school and he's back in school. But I'm talking to parents. They're like, our kids aren't back in school. No idea when. And you know who doesn't want them back in school? The teachers' unions who are busy vacationing in the Bahamas. I mean, you're right. It's not just politics anymore. And I'm going to take you one further. It's not just our life. I think anymore, it's good versus evil. Some of the things that the Democrats are proposing and that Biden is doing are just, they're evil. They're wrong. It's right versus wrong anymore. Not just politics as usual.
Yeah, and speaking of schools, one of the things I'm really supporting right now, I'm trying to get the word on, word out about a Douglas County recall of four of our liberal lefty, shut it down, open it up, shut it up, meaning the schools. Shut them down, open them up, shut them up. You know, they can't make up their minds. They're constantly screwing with parents who are working and kids who want to get back to school. So there's a group now, it's a bipartisan group, and they're starting a recall of four of these very leftist school board members. And if you go to Douglas County, go to Road to Recall. I think it's dart.org. Sign up. The petitions to recall these four school board members will drop, I think, probably by February 8th. We've got 60 days to get these petitions in. Need about 20,000 signatures, but which shouldn't be hard. We've got 370,000 people in Douglas County. So if
do you have your lawyer yet?
Yeah, because you know they're going to throw them all out.
No, they will. I mean, yeah. I've done recalls and I've defended recalls. And the first thing.
No, we can't get discouraged here, Chuck.
I'm not saying you get discouraged. They'll deny it like they did in Lakewood on Agenda 2.
And Westminster.
And you need to get somebody.
Get Randy Corcoran.
And you'll win the case, but they'll deny it on frivolous terms. If you think you have a democracy with those bureaucrats, you're wrong. They will lie, cheat, and steal.
But Joy,
it's up to the Secretary of State. It's up to the Secretary of State, okay?
Cheat, and steal. She's an utter crook.
Chuck? No downer. No downer talk. Okay?
I'm
not a downer.
What he's saying is,
I've won recalls, and everyone, they denied in the court. I've won recalls. I've defended recalls.
Without being a downer. I think
it's not a downer. It's just, how do you win?
Right.
That's the whole point of it. It's not just to go through the exercise.
You get more. No. We got all kinds of propositions on the ballot with petitioning this time.
Yes.
It works. We have to get lots more. You're right. There's a lot of corruption in the Secretary of State's office because she's a Democrat. But we get more signatures than we need. We get tens of thousands more signatures we need, and that's how we win. We get the people involved. Don't ever think that the people aren't powerful. The people are extremely powerful, even against the corrupt machine.
Because in a way, Joy, you're right. I mean, what do you do now? That's about the only thing we can do, right? And I think what's good is, and what I like about you guys doing that, every time conservatives launch some kind of recall, all the media says, stupid conservatives launching another recall, blah, blah, blah. And then they get denied, and then they fight, and they get it on the ballot, like you said in this last election.
Well, let me finish this. Here in Westminster, we have a city council with all the Emily List people and recalled them, got more than enough signatures. And they denied all the ballots saying, well, this page wasn't.
It was a completely illegal.
It was bonus, bogus. And now we're in court and we'll win that. And we'll win the recall of all those people and put some good MAGA conservatives on the Westminster City Council. But
all right.
Yeah. We were ready because we knew they would cheat. That's all they do.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. I'm sure we'll be ready. I'm just getting involved in this just recently, just the last week or so.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the people who are involved in it have a lot of money and they're putting a lot of money into it. And good. I think Douglas County parents are sick and rotten tired of their kids just sitting at home staring at a screen or going out and, playing kickball instead of staring at the screen. It's not any way to educate kids. It's sick and wrong.
Yes. Oh, it doesn't. Yes. I mean, I can tell you this. So Rev and I, since really the beginning of the year, because he'd been in and out of school, trying to explain multiplication, trying to get him to memorize multiplication, right? Didn't work. He's back in school 2 weeks and he's just whipping through. I mean, it's remarkable, but being in a classroom with other kids, having an actual teacher can make, and he's thrilled. He's happy. I'm not kidding. And any other parent would say the same thing. He is a completely different child. And I look at we have a friend in Denver where they went back and they made him go back home again, and the kids are devastated. It's screwing up these kids. So thank you. Well, let me join because we've got other stuff to get to. What else are you working on?
We'll have to talk. Maybe we're back in another time because I want to talk about the challenges in Colorado, which are far greater than they are in the surrounding states. We have real structural challenges: who funds, how elections are conducted, what the people who are the consultants will do to people they don't like. It's a real challenge.
Yeah, and I know you know people, and you know
you
things.
Know people. So
where, Joy, where other places can people find you and read your columns? All of our comment sections on Zoom want to know where we can find you.
You can look me up. I'm still on Facebook because I have a large following on Facebook. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, get off Facebook. They just use you. Well, you know what? We use them. We use them. We use them to reach our constituents and our Republicans and our Tea Party people. I post on 30 or 40 different groups of Republican groups, Tea Party conservative groups all over the state. And that's how we get the word out. That's how we do what we do, which is to try to change this state from blue to red. So just look me up on Facebook. I'm Joy Overbeck. My page is open. I don't think you can comment on the stuff I post unless you're a friend, but just friend me. But you can see what I'm posting without, except, you know what? Facebook put me in Facebook jail yesterday for 3 days because I just love it. They're such a bunch of fascists, you know.
Yes. They are. You know.
And on Twitter, you can find me at JoyOverback1. And as soon as Parler comes back up, I did join Parler, and I'll be there. And I've been on Twitter. I've been urging all the Trumps and the people who follow me, both Snerdly on Rush Limbaugh's show, and David Limbaugh, and oh gosh, a lot of people. Kevin Cork, who's the news guy at Fox.
Right.
These people all follow me, so I've been urging them all, plus the Trump family, for Trump to start his own Facebook rival.
Yeah.
And call it Trump Face. Trump.
Yay! We'd love it.
All right, Joy.
Or maybe a Trump book, or maybe Trump card. Who knows?
Something like that.
Yeah. Just do something. Yeah. Hey, Joy. Thank you for your time. Great column. I encourage everybody to read it. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Thanks, you guys. Go to American Thinker. Okay.
All right. Okay. AmericanThinker.com. All right. We've got all kinds of things. This is from Dr. Donna Walter. Hey, thank you, Donna. Gathering people to be effective is challenging, as many have not done this or with minimum experience. It's sort of like resembled feral cats when starting out. That's true.
Boy.
And then Mark Griffith is saying it's time to abandon the government school systems. They're lost in the way it's set up. Offer your elections, voter apathy, ignorance, blah, blah, blah. We won't be getting them back. Instead, hit them where they hurt. Pupil funding. Take the kids out. They'll lose the funding. That'll get their attention. Although, I want to open this time up too. If anybody who is listening to us on Zoom wants to go ahead and bring their camera up, just one at a time, though, we can talk to you then. 888-627-6008 if people want to come back in. But before we do any of that, I want to play the soundbite from Matt Gaetz, because I think he hits it on the head about what we need to do and how we need to fight against sort of the rhino swamp people. So, Thomas, if we could play the Gaetz soundbite, please.
Inside the beltway of Washington, D.C., the establishment has concentrated their power, and now they want to be able to reconstitute the Republican Party in their image. My theory of the case, Tucker, is that if we only fight the neocons in Washington, D.C., then they're on their home turf. So I think we need to go out into the country. We need to inspire a positive populism, and we need to stand against these America Last politicians who are a lot like Congress as a whole. Owned by foreign interests abroad, special interests at home, and then at times deeply unpopular. I saw a poll that came out yesterday that had Liz Cheney at 10% approval rating with Republicans in her own state. Now, by contrast, Muammar Gaddafi had a 13% approval rating in his final days, and so it's a bit ironic that Liz Cheney is less popular among Republicans than the Arab dictators that she wants to throw out of office.
You know, and that's the thing he was commenting on. That's why he went to Wyoming,
which was brilliant
on his part. And it's the same kind of thing that Joy is talking about, that, you know, you start in your county offices, you start at your school boards. Thank goodness Liz Cheney is having, like, you know, two primary opponents. That's where you
just one.
But I mean, that's where you start getting their attention, because here's the thing, guys, this is what I believe anyway. You look at what's going on with GameStop, and we'll get into that in a little bit. They're not going to do anything about GameStop.
Oh,
they're all paid off. They're not going to do anything about Google or Facebook. They're all paid
Yellen,
off.
Well, Yellen, the Secretary of Treasury, has made
a million dollars
on Zoom calls.
Well, on Zoom calls with some of the hedge funds that now the Robinhood app was using. I mean, they shut it down to prevent people like you and me from doing trading. Only if you're rich enough to have a margin account, and I don't even know what that is, because we're not. Okay, Chuck is rich enough, but I mean,
well, I'm not sure I'm rich enough. I know what a margin account is.
It's just, you know, saying stuff and complaining and hoping that they're going to listen to us isn't going to work, because they don't care. They've got their paid off. They've got their cushy lobby jobs lined up. Even if you do primary them, they don't care. Do you think Liz Cheney actually cares if she doesn't get to be a congressperson anymore? Yes. Well, a little bit, but she's not going to suffer, right? She's not going to go back to...
Cheney's stole enough money to last generation.
Exactly.
So, no, she cares.
Well, but I think that's where we get them, right? Because we need to understand the corruption runs hugely deep. That's why they tried to crush Donald Trump. And that's what I was saying in a promo. It's not enough for them to just, you know, win the election. They need to crush us. That's why you're seeing all of the censorship. I find this interesting. So YouTube has Biden's inauguration speech up, right? That had literally something like 43,000 dislikes. You know how you could put your thumbs up, thumbs down? They took them off. YouTube, they disabled the comment section. And they took away the dislikes. It went from like thousands and thousands to like almost none.
Mark Rivens says, I'll happily take Liz Cheney quail hunting, a reference to her father is quail hunting when she shot a guy.
It was an accident, Chuck. Yeah, it was a tragic accident.
Well, that's what Mark would happen with Mark.
and then another thing, too, we'll get into this with GameStop, but the app. Robinhood, that was a trading app that they were using, what they did is they started putting negative reviews on it. 100,000 negative reviews. Google just took them away. So, I mean, they're not even playing softball anymore. They are out
Never
to crush
have.
Us. But we have to remember there are millions and millions of us. And I see Mark there with his wall of books, Mark Griffith there, who is, by the way, and we'll have him back on Monday, going to be filling in for us next Wednesday as a host. So, hey, Mark, thank you for that. But happy Friday to you.
Same to you guys. It's enjoy to watch you.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
So you're going to take Liz Cheney quail hunting when she has some time on her hands?
Yeah, I'd happily do that. She's a piece of work, but I think they're miscalculating. The establishment people don't realize how much pent up anger there is. I don't think she'll return to Congress after this session. After this, I just can't see her winning in Wyoming. They say that she's down double digits to her challenger.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe they can learn. She can confer with a Democrat on how you rig elections.
Well, yeah, then they're just printing up ballots there now.
True.
But what do you make of all of this? I think it's great, though, that Matt Gaetz went to Wyoming. It's great.
That was political theater at its best.
Right. Yes.
And that's what Republicans always have been so poor at. They've been very bad at presenting the message. We've always come at things from the logic and rationale standpoint, but people are swayed by their emotions and by images. And I think some of the younger guys are finally figuring that out.
Well, I think the older guys, they just had so much power. I think it's been a long time since our establishment Republicans have actually cared about us. They just...
Yeah, it's not that they didn't get it, because going back to the Reagan administration and all those guys who just did images, they were happy to have the sound bites where the anchor would be criticizing Trump criticizing Reagan, but all you'd see is flags and everything else. It's just a pure laziness. They don't have to. They don't want to. They've got to actually consider what other people think and what other people feel.
And I think it says something, your take on. So Kevin McCarthy went from, oh, yeah, Trump's responsible for the riots. However, I'm not going to vote to impeach him, to now going to Florida and having the happy little selfie taken with Trump. I mean, to me, that indicates, even though he's kind of standing by Liz Cheney, that kind of indicates, you know, he's figured out which way the wind is blowing, I think.
Well, you know, there was I think Trump paid for a survey or a poll that showed that if they started a MAGA party, it would get 37% of the vote, Democrats in the 40s, and Republicans would only get 17%. And that came out the morning of, I want to say, whatever day it was, they were having the vote on the impeachment. And you saw there were going to be a lot more than those 10,
I think,
who were going to vote, who were flirting with the idea of voting for impeachment on the Republican side. And after that came out and they saw the backlash at Cheney and others, they all stopped doing that and kind of came back in the fold. Now, we've identified them. We've flushed them out. And I think McCarthy is emblematic of an old school, which way's the wind blowing kind of politician. And that's not going to win for us. Joy said something in her column I quickly read, you know, the Democrats, they never apologize. They never shoot their own. They never turn on their own, no matter how radical, no matter repulsive and ugly. They will never criticize their own because it's the old Lenin adage, right? No enemies on my left. While Republicans are always busy forming circular firing squads and trying to see who can be the most Mitt Romney-like, you know, who has the best ethics.
Right, exactly.
That's a pre-Trump attitude in a post-Trump world. Yeah. If we're going to win, these people, what people on the right and in the middle don't understand is the left wants to crush us.
Yes.
If you read 1984, if you read Darkness at Noon by Arthur Koestler, if you read The Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, the left is not content to dominate their opponents. They're not content to rule them. They want to humiliate them and they want to kill them. You know, on the scene in 1984 where Winston finally says, okay, fine, 2 + 2 = 5. You win. Can I go home? And they say no.
Yeah.
Because you don't really believe it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And then they pull his teeth out. Hey, listen, we're going to let you go. We'll have you back on Monday. You're going to be filling up us. Thank you, Mark. Mark,
okay, guys.
Thank you. We got Charlene.
Being online too.
Hey, Charlene, happy Friday.
Oh, happy Friday to you as well. You know, I just feel like if I hear one more time, get out the vote. We got out the vote. It seems like there's two camps. There's the old camp that still says, if we had just gotten out the vote, we would have won. If we just got more people involved on the local level and, you know, in the precinct captain, blah, 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 we got out the vote. There's the other part of the party that says, you know, we got out the vote, but it was stolen. And so it's like, if we don't combine those two groups where it's like, we got out the vote and it was stolen. And how do we address this?
Well,
exactly.
The problem here in Colorado is that the consultants and the left wing of the party cheat too. The election of Ken Buck was crooked. They took all kinds of proxies. They broke every rule.
Is it Republican Party chairperson?
That's true.
And so we have another election coming up. And
we got to make sure it's fair.
Well, it won't be fair. Well, it'll only be fair if he can win.
But I think
Scott Kessler, but they're going to cheat. All they do is cheat.
But Charlene has a good point, though. In order to win, you're right. And that's what I've been saying, Charlene, too. It's like we have to, almost in a way, I keep saying we have to quit calling it cheating. We just have to recognize those are the new rules. Because when we call it cheating, that implies that if we could just fix the cheating, then it would. But we're not going to fix it. These are the new rules that the Democrats have created. And I mean, you see, there's federal legislation
and
now.
And they're going to reelect themselves based on these new rules.
Yes.
Stealing the election. And so, and you know, and what the way one thing is to break up the big tech and then ensure that we have legal elections. One person, one legal citizen gets to vote.
Right.
And how we accomplish that is going to be the hard part. But just getting out the vote, that's just insanity, doing the same thing over and over.
We're
taking over
the central committee.
And we're not acknowledging that.
Well, taking over all the posts is important. I mean, having
the local, state Republican parties.
Having Randy Corcoran be the RNC
committee
person
member
is incredibly important.
Yeah, so, because there are other states with robust functioning, you know, Republican parties. And so there is hope. And Charlene, I think you're right. And one of the things that gives me hope is I really do believe that Donald Trump, whatever he ends up actually doing, gets it, obviously. And there are people surrounding him who get it. And you got people like Matt Gaetz calling out Liz Cheney and not, you know, saying, well, we have to respect Liz Cheney, and going to Wyoming and taking it to her. And I think you're absolutely right. We need to combine the two, and we need to use the rules that they have, you know, pushed upon us, and just recognize, hey, that's the world we live in. And if we're going to win, we got to do that.
Yeah, but the framework is such that the rhinos are going to maintain control of the party. You think that bunch that's taken over Colorado GOP is going to give up any control? I mean, they'll put you know, populist precinct captains in there and say, oh, look what we got. And then, but they'll carry on with the rhinos controlling the framework. They control the framework, and to get through it is I don't see that it's possible. But
it's I think it's possible. But you're just going to have to sue. You're going to have to be as mean and vicious as they are, and we're going to have to find some funding source. If you get those,
remember what happened with those candidates that the rhinos put up in Colorado. They were basically funded by the Democrats.
So yeah, that's Democrat true.
Yeah, biggest funder in Colorado was the ultra left wife of James Murdoch, Catherine Murdoch. She's the biggest funder of Republican candidates, and it was all in the primaries.
Yeah, they were fake Republicans.
They're not fake. They're just so bland.
The only leverage we have is to start another party.
No, it's a death. That's death.
Well, I'll kick them out. I think, Charlene,
let me just tell you that I know that this scares people to death, because they go, oh, we got a framework and we got a few. We'll get rid of these rhinos, you know, like we have never done in the past, but we'll do it this time. I know that scares people. But what I'm saying, this party is over. There is no food left at the party. There is no music. The host has left the building. Donald Trump has been escorted out of the building. There are laggards that are still hanging out at the party saying, okay, let's get something going here. But it's just...
Well, if you start a MAGA party, how long will it take them to take that over?
Yeah, they'll sneak in. Well, but I think, Charlene, here's...
Because they have all the money.
The thing, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I tend to think we need to kick them out of the party. And you're right. I don't know.
In Colorado, it's different than most...
Right, right. Don't get...
It's not just, you know, the party. It's stealing the election. The rhinos in the party are not even allowing us to say the election was a big heist. They're not
letting
our own people. And so... unless we just ask them to leave and say, you're not here anymore, then they're going to continue to run the framework. And the only leverage we have is like, hey, y'all continue with your little framework over here and have your, you know nothing party. And we're going to start something very energetic and very, you know, Trump-esque and populist and have some leverage over them, because right now, I don't see that we have any leverage over them except promises.
Don't have any leverage over them, and the Republicans have no leverage over the Democrats.
And I think that's
in this state, I mean, all you're fighting for is two things. All this fighting, like for the chairman and everything else, it's $2.2 million you get from the RNC nationally, and whatever money Anschutz and all the rest of them give, and all it is splitting it up. That's all it's about.
Well, amongst their friends.
If you run as a candidate, you get nothing.
Few people, you know, stay up there in Washington party on their cocktail circuit and say, oh, I've got a base. It's called the Republican Party. I'm not going to do anything, but I've got my base. And then we're sitting down here saying, you know, there's got to be something better, and we're not going to give up. And I just, I'd like to hope that doing the same thing over and over again, it's going to be different, result in something different, but it hasn't worked so far. And we've had our chance to Trump.
Charlene. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Hey, we're going to switch gears a little bit, topics and gears. We've got George Anthonisopoulos on with us. George, I'm referring to him as just a general strategist. Folks who listen to our show, we call him the A-man. He's a longtime Republican strategist.
Ran for Congress, ran for party chair.
But he actually, so he clearly understands the inner workings of the party. But also, people didn't know this, George actually has an actual job. And he's got an MBA.
Nefarious banks.
And so I said, George, come on and explain. I had texted him the other day and said, what is this whole GameStop thing? And so he graciously agreed to come on the show this afternoon. So, George, hey, thank you for your time.
Hey, George.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So one of the things that I find interesting about, and I've been saying it's kind of the same thing, is what you have with the whole GameStop thing is you have, once again, big tech corporate giants trying to not just outmaneuver the little guy, but actively trying to crush the little guy. And well, I guess just in general, because you understand this stuff a little bit better than me, although I know, let me give it, you had said, hey, Julie, I'm not an expert on this, but your thoughts on this whole GameStop, Wall Street, which is now having a bad week again, I see, the whole situation.
Well, what's interesting is it's actually not that different from politics, because it's a populist uprising. So you have a group on Reddit called Wall Street Bets, and they had noticed that several large hedge funds had taken out short positions on stocks such as GameStop and AMC and a few others. And, you know, people were fed up. People have been locked in their homes. They don't have anything to do. And this group of people decided to band together and go out and take, you know, take positions on the stocks. You know, either they bought the stock outright or they took, you know, positions counter to what the hedge funds had done. And the thing about shorting a stock is essentially you borrow a stock at a certain price and then you agree to, you know, give it back at a certain point in time. And what you're hoping is that the price drops, because when you borrow it, you sell it. So if you borrow it $100, you sell it $100, and you have, let's say, a defined amount of time to give the stock back. So you're hoping you, let's say the stock drops in price so that you can buy the stock, give it back, and whatever the difference is from when you bought, or excuse me, from when you sold to when you bought again, you hope it, you know, it's enough to make you money. And right. Some of these hedge funds have taken out, you know, bets in the billions, and all these people by buying the stock essentially drove up the price. So
right.
the hedge funds who had borrowed the stock sold it, then had to rebuy it at significantly higher prices. I mean,
yeah, people find the concept, and you use the right vernacular, but borrowing, it's because it's a fungible commodity. You get the stock, you sell it, and promise to give them some shares back in the future. Which is not how most people view borrowing, but it is the right terminology.
Well, and here's the thing that really kind of, I think it's kind of funny. So I've seen the pictures of Janet Yellen and Joe Biden, Janet, the Treasury Secretary, sitting there with their masks on and people peppering the press secretary. What are they going to do about this? Because what happened then is when the little guy started really winning, essentially, they just closed down the trading. They said, okay,
stop the losses.
They just stopped it. It's like, it'd be like, wait a minute, you can't just stop it. But they did, to prevent the big guys from losing too much money. But Janet Yellen, what, gathered millions of dollars in speaking fees to these very hedge funds that are being bailed out or that are pursuing these actions. I mean, do you have any optimism that Janet Yellen is going to say, hey, wait, you know, Robin Hood, you can't just do that. You can't just stop trading. Or if you do, it's wrong.
Well, I mean, it is a little bit more complicated, just because like Robinhood itself doesn't actively buy and sell stock. They have to rely on clearing houses. There's all kinds of infrastructure.
Right.
These clearing houses have to, you know, manage the risk. So it's not all on Robinhood, but I am very cynical on the government's approach to all of this, because these hedge funds don't just lose billions of dollars and then shake it off.
Yeah.
And more to the point, it's not, Democrats have never met a problem or frankly a good situation that they didn't want to regulate. So regardless, good or bad, they're going to want to, because something is different, they're going to want to try and regulate it. That's just what's in their DNA. And This is populism. This is a group of people, a large group on Reddit, who said, you know what, we're tired of always losing. We're tired of the, you know, the big guys, the swamp, whatever you want to call them. We're tired of them always winning and we're always losing. If you've seen during the pandemic, the billionaires have increased their net worth by an astronomical percentage. And meanwhile, small businesses, individuals, the proletariat, they've been taking it on the chin and they're tired of it. And this is just a way to release some of that populist anger, really not that much different than electing Donald Trump. That was, he tapped into populist anger. And I think what we have to do is step back and recognize that the systems and processes that are in place, they make people mad. They don't feel like it's fair. And to a great extent, they're right.
Well,
it's more than a great extent. As you said, Democrats never saw anything they didn't want to regulate. But when you regulate it in favor
of the big guys.
Of the big guys.
I mean, who do we think Janet Yellen is going to stand up for? The people who gave her $1 million plus in speaking fees, or some guy, you know, on Reddit? It's like,
I mean, there was a former commissioner from the SEC, and she said that, you know, these Reddit people, they're like a insurrectionist down at the Capitol on January 6th, and they must be squashed. And that's a, you know, that's a government regulator. The government regulators only regulate for the benefit of themselves and those who they regulate. And it's not a fair system.
Well,
and it's not a capitalist system.
They regulate on behalf of the system that pays them. It's just their self-interest. The system that pays their bills, they seek to protect. It is, again, basic self-interest. So,
and they go out to them. They work in their bureaucracy, then you get out of the bureaucracy. I mean, I have more friends who went to law school.
All the big tech people who are now in Biden's administration, and when he get done. Well, what about George? Here's the thing, though, that I find some hope in. Like, I'm the one who's always like, I know there's a pony in here somewhere. Just like the current situation has totally revealed and exposed the swamp rhinos in the Republican Party, I think that this GameStop thing goes, I think you're right, it's very similar to politics, but I think it goes beyond politics. And I think it also has revealed the inner workings of this entire corrupt Wall Street system as well. I mean, I was saying earlier, Google just took off the negative reviews, I think, of Robinhood. They said, oh, I'm not going to allow it. There were like 100,000 negative reviews, and they just took them away. I mean, so it's rigged. And I think this has shown, and that's hope anyway, that all of these people who maybe weren't paying attention to politics, you might want to say, hey, wait a minute, this affects you, and it is totally rigged against you. When Trump talks about things being rigged, it's rigged across the board.
Yeah, the fact that the First Amendment is actually being debated in this country right now shows just how far down the rabbit hole we've gone.
Right.
That speech is debatable now, even in the First Amendment. It's in the Bill of Rights, and it's been a foundational principle that we built the country on, and yet now it's suddenly up for debate.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been up for debate before when the Alien and the Sedition Acts in 1917. Everybody says you can't yell fire in a theater. That comes from an opinion by Oliver Wendell Holmes where the government said you can't criticize the draft. You can't criticize it at all. You can't mention it. And he ruled, that's right, you can't. That's unfair because it's like fire in a theater. And so we've gone through periods before where free speech has been destroyed. That's usually been times of war. It's amazing to have it in times of peace.
Well, and one significant difference I'd say is at least before it was the government and there was sort of some hope you could vote people in or out, the suppression right now and the crushing is coming not from the government, but from the big tech corporate global elites.
It's the same thing.
Well, it is the same thing. But what I mean is they can say, oh, well, go build your own Google. You know,
but they're
not going
to, and they'll prevent you from doing
it. They're not going to regulate it. But I think that's even more scary. What we have now is this combined power of Wall Street and these hedge funds and these multi-billionaire corporations that are just, you know, they want to reset the whole world economy and the Democrat Party and the Rhino Republicans. And it's like, I mean, the only thing we got is like guys on Reddit, you know, and shows like this and people like you who take time off of your day job.
Well, let's go to another subject. I want to ask you about the race for Republican chair. I got a call last night on a conference call to talk to Scott Gessler.
They wouldn't let Chuck ask any questions, though.
And I said, oh, great. I want to ask him about his relationship with Andy George.
And they didn't call
I waited
on him.
About a half hour and there was no answer to me. Here's Tina from somewhere. Hi, Scott, you're the most wonderful human being ever. And I'm so excited that you're running. You ran against Ryan Call, correct?
No, Jeff Hayes.
Oh, Jeff Hayes. That's right. Jeff Hayes.
Do you have any position on the chairperson race?
Maybe I'm being unusually negative, but Scott Gessler, I just see as he's just Ryan Call in another suit. He's just Jeff Hayes.
Yes.
You know, there's no difference. Right. What has he said different than anybody who has run the Republican Party in the past? Oh, I'm going to reach new voting groups that haven't voted Republican before. I'm going to raise more money, certainly, than my opponent.
Oh, yeah, we heard that before. Ken Buck was supposed to do that.
Oh, yeah, he raised all the millions.
Yeah, no, and but they raised like zero. Although, here, George, so Anil Mathai, who was in there, he's posting up on a little chat section, George for chair.
You got a good job.
Yeah, you got an actual job anymore. And I think your wife, she doesn't even know you're on this call, right? It's you're like, I'm talking to my mistress, honey, not politics.
Yeah, no, definitely not politics. And the issue is that, you know, when I ran, I jumped in, I ran for Congress. I was fresh out of the military. I was very idealistic and hopeful. And seeing the Republican Party from the inside, I saw how much it needed to change. And I decided to run for chair. Obviously, I didn't win. And the issue is it's not that what I said was false. Everything I said actually came true. It's just Republicans keep falling hook, line, and sinker for, well, I'm going to vote for the candidate who can raise more money, as if money itself translates directly into votes, which it helps, but yeah, it doesn't mean votes. And especially if you spend that money stupidly, which we do, it certainly doesn't translate into votes, and it 100% doesn't translate into victory. So when you hear someone running for chair, and for the Republicans who are still out there, if someone's argument is I can raise more money than my opponent, run away from that person, because
right,
they don't have any clue. So, you know, Scott, I haven't heard any idea come from Scott that would change the paradigm here in Colorado. And going into 2022, you've got the Jared Polis machine that's going to be seeking re-election. Now, John Hickenlooper with the B team absolutely annihilated Corey, which I believe it was 4 years ago we predicted that, and warning about it ever since. And 4 years of warnings apparently didn't resonate with Corey's campaign, because they did exactly what they said they shouldn't do. And then they lost by, you know, a margin that we predicted years ago.
Right.
And, you know, it's, if Hickenlooper can destroy Corey with the B team, imagine what Polis is going to do with the A team. And it's not that there is no opportunity, because people are seeing what the Biden administration is doing. People are mad based on the overreach that Emperor Polis has used during the pandemic. There is an opportunity, but you need the right candidates doing the right things, employing the right type of campaign mechanics to even begin to take advantage of the sentiment that's building around the country.
Well, you know, I'm hoping
in Colorado, we just don't have that.
No, but I'm hoping that somebody like Lauren Boebert, and I know you worked, you know, with your, you were a supporter of hers, can provide us a little bit of a template, because you're right, it's common sense.
But it is interesting, because just look at Lauren Boebert. Right now, if you go to the Denver Post, endless negative stories about Lauren Boebert. You go to the Colorado Sun, endless negative stories about Lauren Boebert. You go to Colorado Politics, the quote, conservative alternative, negative stories about Lauren Boebert. You have the whole media machine that's against any conservative.
And she's fighting back, though. I mean,
no, good for her.
What she's showing is, this is the other good thing, though. She's showing that who cares, right? I mean, she just slams it right back in their face. And the good thing we have working for us on that front is, who reads Colorado Politics anymore? Who reads the Denver Post anymore? Who watches Kyle Clark on 9 News? Like 5 people? And so that's the good news, is these organizations have made themselves I think, increasingly irrelevant because of their bias. And God bless Lauren for just, I mean, you know, we need to send her like, I don't know what, Valentine's Day cards on Valentine's Day and say, don't give up. You know, we support you. Don't, it's maybe like the sports team, you know, don't read the papers the day after a loss. It's like, don't pay any attention to these people. They're just, they don't know what they're talking about. I hope that she knows that.
Well, let's look objectively at what happened in Lauren's race. So Lauren, who is a political outsider, small business owner, challenged a five-term Republican incumbent in a primary and smashed him.
So, and one who had no, you know, intervening scandal.
Yeah, he was just boring.
I mean, he was not a injured incumbent. He was just your usual bland Colorado Republican incumbent.
Yeah, he was milquetoast.
Yes.
But how often does that happen?
Once in a blue moon?
Once.
Decades, really. I mean, in Colorado, I think it's been decades and decades.
Since like Tom Tancredo. So
you have an outsider small business owner smash a five-term Republican incumbent without scandal, without anything negative, really. I mean, nothing really positive, but he was co-chair of the state Trump campaign, for goodness sake.
Yes,
and then,
right. And then
in a year where in Colorado, you saw an incumbent senator get absolutely annihilated. You saw, you know, there wasn't necessarily good outcomes for Republicans. There weren't necessarily bad outcomes, but not good either. But you have this race in the 3rd congressional district where you have an outsider who beat a Republican incumbent, doesn't have a huge war chest, go on to face Stan and Mitch Bush, who is relatively well known on the Western Slope, and, you know, beat her handily when a lot of the Republican establishment folks were saying, oh, this is going to be a close race. She, you know, she might lose. She'll probably lose. You know, if she wins, you know, it'll be luck. No. She won. She won handily, and it was entirely predictable. And it was for certain reasons she won.
Right.
Beyond the message, beyond the person, and beyond the fact that she just outworked and out-hustled her opponent, both in the primary and the general election, I mean, she did the things that were necessary. Other Republicans, not everyone, because you have to have a certain personality, you have to have certain charisma, and you absolutely have to have the work ethic, but you can beat Democrats. It's not impossible. Even a Democrat like Jared Polis, he can be beaten. I mean, the odds are stacked tremendously
against you,
but it's not impossible. And down ballot, it's not impossible. But you have to be smart about it. You have to have the right candidate. But more importantly, you have to be smart about it.
Right. Well, we need to.
You also have to not have Denver or Boulder in your race you're running, because Denver will crook any race and does. Their clerk is totally corrupt. And she's just a political activist. That's all they've elected.
Well, that's what Soros has put into place.
Everywhere, including Adams County. I mean, it's about time Republicans finally figure out how much they're getting had.
And in the meantime, George, we'll keep having you on and us on, and we'll keep pointing it out and looking for the pony.
George, thanks so much for coming on.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, okay, George Anthonisopoulos there. You know, we've got about 3 minutes. If anybody there on Zoom.
2:35.
Wants to weigh in real quick. But back to what, the hope thing is I think this GameStop thing is, it is the little guys saying, hey, screw you to the big guys. Then the big guys come in and they're not even subtle about it with a heavy hammer. They just go, we're not going to even let you play anymore. And people are mad. I mean, the GameStop people, they finally let them reopen today and boom, it shot up again. And they're saying, we're not going to sell. We're not going to give in.
Here's a good piece of news from Donna Walter. She's going to run as a bonus member. So that's
there you go. For the, and she's talking about in the local precinct races, which I think is where it all starts. I think, you know, we've got Ben Nicholas, you're there. I see Anil Mathai. I'm not sure what Anil is doing these days, but Anil is continuing the fight. Hey guys, that's going to kind of wrap it up for us. Actually, but now we have less than that. I want to remind you to check our sponsors, americascitizenpress.com. You can get all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. There are links there to YouTube, to Podbean, to, you know, iHeart, Apple, we're everywhere. Sure, appreciate it if you would like and subscribe to us. We're still on Twitter, but that's kind of a losing proposition. Every day I turn in, they've got fewer people. Like everybody, we'll keep you posted where we go. But want to thank Joy, and we want to and George, and everybody joining us on Zoom. We'd love to see your names and see everybody up
and
there
Mark
on Zoom.
Griffin could see him.
Yep, exactly.
So, all right. Well,
Chuck is off to Boy Scouts.
Off to Boy Scouts. I have to get a COVID test first, though, because I'm going to do an operation. So
yeah, so Chuck
my own very COVID test.
He's going to do contact tracing.
All of you are on my contact tracing.
That's right. Hey, everybody have a great weekend. Thanks as always to the folks at BBS. We'll see you on Monday.
Take care.